Hello and welcome to The More You Know. I'm Pickles and this is The More You Know on Penguin Radio. That's radio.dominican.edu. Just to start off really fast before we start our show, Dominican Student Health Center is getting ready for the last campus blood drive for the semester. It's on April 22nd from 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at Calarega in the Creekside Room. And in celebration of Cesar Chavez, the Student Health Center has teamed up with the National Cesar E. Chavez Blood Drive Challenge. If you are healthy and weigh over 110 pounds, your blood can help save a life. Go to www.bloodheroes.com and search for Dominican University of California to schedule an appointment. Walk-ins are also welcome. Be sure to eat a good meal and drink a lot of fluids prior to going. All students who donate will receive a custom Cesar Chavez Blood Drive Challenge t-shirt and be entered to win a $25 Trader Joe's gift card. Please call or email if you have any questions, and the website again is www.bloodheroes.com. So now, without further ado, let's get right into the show. And first off, we're going to be talking again about the missing jet. So, missing flight 370. The search is going to be stopped this week. The air search for signs of missing flight 370 will be called off within 72 hours as a robotic submarine begins to scan and map a new-to-man section of ocean floor. The U.S. Navy's Pinger locator was replaced in the southern Indian Ocean by the Bluefin 21 autonomous sub, which can create a three-dimensional sonar map of the area to chart any debris on the seafloor. The Bluefin sub takes six times longer to cover the same area as the Pinger locator, and the two devices can't be used at the same time. It was launched around 5:20 a.m. Eastern Time. Officials believe batteries in the missing jet's black box recorders have probably died. Crews had been hoping to detect additional signals before sending down the sub so they could triangulate the source and zero in on where exactly the black boxes may be. Complicating matters further is the depth of the seafloor, which at 15,000 feet below the surface is at the deepest the Bluefin can dive. Officials are looking for other vehicles that could help to retrieve any wreckage if the submarine detects any sign of the Boeing 777. Officials haven't found a single piece of debris linked to the plane, and Houston said Monday that the visual search operation would be ending in the next 2 to 3 days. The submarine will take 24 hours to complete each mission, 2 hours to dive to the bottom, 16 hours to search the seafloor, and then 2 hours to return to the surface, and 4 hours to download the data. In its deployment, it will search a 15-square-mile section of the seafloor. The leader of the operations said, "The current depth that the system will be operating in is right at its highest rated maximum, so that is certainly a concern. That's what it's rated to operate into, but anytime we push something to its limits, you're always concerned about how the performance is going to be." He also warned of the need to be realistic about the challenges ahead, dubbing the waters being searched as new to man. He added, "I would caution you against raising hopes that the deployment of the autonomous underwater vehicle will result in the detection of the aircraft wreckage. It may not. However, this is the best lead we have, and it must be pursued vigorously. Again, I emphasize that this will be a slow and painstaking process." Officials are currently focusing their acoustic search on an area about the size of a medium city, around 230 square miles, and say it could take the underwater robot months to scan and map the whole search zone. A visual search for debris on the ocean surface was continuing on Monday over 18,400 square miles of water, about 1,400 miles northwest of Perth, Australia. As always, our thoughts and our prayers are with the families of the missing members on Flight 370. Next up, some news from Nigeria. An explosion caused by a suspected car bomb tore through a crowded bus station in Abuja, the Nigerian capital, on Monday during the morning rush hour, and the police said at least 71 people were killed and 124 wounded in one of the most lethal attacks to strike the country. President Goodluck Jonathan, who visited the blast scene, blamed Boko Haram, the homegrown Islamist extremist group that has been attacking schools, government sites, and civilians for years. The police said that the explosion ripped through 16 luxury coaches and 24 minibuses, and that the initial blast spurred further explosions when vehicles' tanks caught on fire. They said they suspected that a bomb had been planted in a Volkswagen Golf that was driven into the station and then detonated. Witnesses said they saw bodies mangled beyond recognition, charred vehicles, and strewn body parts that were being collected by emergency workers. The blast occurred at 6:30 a.m., not far from the city center, in a poor working-class area. Local residents said the bus station was only about a 15-minute drive from Mr. Jonathan's office and residence, giving the attack a particularly frightening resonance. Mr. Jonathan appeared close to tears over the victims as he toured the site after the blast. He said, "Let us first express our collective condolence to the family of those who lost their lives." While the president blamed Boko Haram, a police spokesman, Frank Emba, said that no one had claimed immediate responsibility for the explosion and that an investigation was underway. He said emergency workers were still collecting casualty figures. The policeman said, "So far, we have a total of 71 persons dead and 124 others injured, and they are all receiving treatment at various hospitals." An assistant librarian at the MacArthur Foundation in Abuja said by phone that the capital was on edge as scenes from the blast were shown on television. There are dead bodies scattered everywhere, and vehicles are on fire. Everybody is afraid and staying at home. She said that Boko Haram, which is active in the northeast of the country, had not struck often in the capital, since security was relatively tight compared with elsewhere in the country. Now with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back after this. This is radio.dominican.edu, and you're listening to The More You Know.
Thank you.
Welcome back to The More You Know. I'm the host, Pickles, and we just talked about some world news, so next we're going to move on and talk about some national news. And so to start with, authorities say hate motivated the Kansas shooting. Prosecutors have enough evidence to pursue hate crime charges in the shooting spree that killed three people at a Jewish community center and retirement home near Kansas City. Frazier Glenn Cross of Aurora, Montana, a known white supremacist, has not been formally charged in the slayings, but officials said more information about charges was expected Tuesday. Federal prosecutors were moving to put the case before a grand jury. Police suspect Cross fatally shot two people Sunday afternoon in the parking lot behind the Jewish Community Center of Greater Kansas City, then drove to a retirement community where he shot a third person. He was arrested in an elementary school parking lot. Overland Park Police Chief John Douglas said, "We have unquestionably determined through the work of law enforcement that this was a hate crime." He refused to elaborate on the evidence. Cross, who's a former Ku Klux Klan leader, was once the subject of a nationwide manhunt, was being held at the Johnson County Jail on a preliminary charge of first-degree murder. Douglas said the suspect made several statements to the police, but it's too early to tell you what he may or may not have said. He also said that it was too early in the investigation to determine whether Cross had an anti-Semitic motive. The Jewish festival of Passover begins Monday evening. A U.S.-based terror monitoring group described the suspect as a known and vocal anti-Semite who frequently calls for genocide against Jews. Police said the attacks happened within minutes. The gunman shot two people in the parking lot behind the Jewish Community Center of Greater Kansas City. He then drove a few blocks to a retirement community, Village Shalom, and gunned down a woman or girl there. Officers arrested him in an elementary school parking lot soon after. The gunman shot at but missed two other people and never entered any buildings. The victims were identified as Dr. William Lewis Corporon, who died at the scene, his 14-year-old grandson, Reed Griffin Underwood, who died at Overland Park Regional Medical Center, and 53-year-old occupational therapist Terry Lamano, a Catholic who was visiting her mother at the retirement complex near the community center. All three dead were Christians. U.S. Attorney Barry Grissom said, "We want to express our condolences to the families of those poor souls who happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and had an unfortunate experience of a first-hand encounter with evil." Rebecca Sturtevant, a hospital spokeswoman, said family members told her Corporon took his grandson to the community center to try out for a student singing competition. Reed was a high school freshman and an Eagle Scout. Cross is also known as Frazier Glenn Miller. A public records search shows he has used both names, but he refers to himself on his website as Glenn Miller and went by the name Frazier Glenn Miller in 2006 and 2010 campaigns for public office. Cross lives in a small single-story home bordered on three sides with barbed wire fences just outside with the small southwest Missouri town of Aurora, some 180 miles south of Overland Park. A red Chevrolet bearing two Confederate flag stickers was parked outside. An AP reporter knocked on the front door of the house early Monday, but no one answered. Neighbor Mitzi Owens, 45, said Cross always seemed friendly, but the locals are well aware of his racist leanings. She said, "It's crazy that someone can be so likable, but be full of this kind of hate." The Southern Poverty Law Center, which tracks hate groups, said it reached his wife, Marge, by phone, and that she said authorities had been to their home. The law center said the suspect has been involved in the white supremacist movement for most of his life. He founded the Carolina Knights of the Ku Klux Klan and was its Grand Dragon in the 1980s. The Army veteran and retired truck driver later found another white supremacist group, the White Patriot Group. He was the subject of a nationwide manhunt in 1987 for violating the terms of his bond while appealing a North Carolina conviction for operating a paramilitary camp. The search ended after federal agents found him and three other men in an Ozark mobile home, which was filled with hand grenades, automatic weapons, and thousands of rounds of ammunition. He ran for U.S. House in 2006 and the U.S. Senate in 2010, espousing a white power platform. Sites said Monday that the suspect is a prominent member of the Vanguard News Network and has posted thousands of messages, including frequent calls for genocide against Jews, on the neo-Nazis forum's website. His most recent post was Saturday. An Overland Park police officer and Kansas State Trooper guarded the entrance of the Jewish Community Center after reports of the shooting on April 13th. Next up, some news on Ukraine. The Ukrainian government on Sunday, for the first time, sent its security services to confront armed pro-Russian militants in the country's east, defying warnings from Russia. Commandos engaged in gunfights with men who had set up roadblocks and stormed a Ukrainian police station in Slovyansk, and at least one officer was killed. Several officers were injured in the operation, as were four locals. Russian news media and residents here disputed that account, saying the Ukrainian forces had only briefly engaged one checkpoint. In either case, the central government in Kiev has turned to force to try to restore its authority in the east, a course of action that the Russian government has repeatedly warned against. With tens of thousands of Russian troops massed along Ukraine's eastern border near Donetsk, Western leaders have worried that Moscow might use unrest in Ukraine's mainly Russian-speaking areas as a pretext for an invasion. Both governments intensified their statements on Sunday. Ukraine's interim president, Oleksandr V. Turkinsvov, issued another ultimatum saying separatists could vacate occupied buildings by Monday or face a large-scale anti-terrorist operation that would include the Ukrainian military. Russia claimed that the Ukrainian government was cracking down at the behest of American and European officials. Ukraine's ousted president, Viktor F. Yanukovych, speaking late Sunday in Rostov-on-Don in Russia, echoed Moscow's charges of American meddling. Insisting that he remained Ukraine's commander-in-chief, despite having fled to Russia more than a month ago, he ordered Ukrainian troops to defy what he called criminal orders for a crackdown and said the country stood on the brink of civil war. The police station contested by Ukrainian forces was one of the several security centers in the eastern region of Donetsk that were seized on Saturday by masked gunmen in coordinated raids that the Ukrainian officials denounced as Russian aggression. By Sunday afternoon, the government's push to reassert its authority in a vitally important industrial and coal mining region appeared to have made little headway. Pro-Russian protesters appeared in control not only the police station, but also the entire town of Slovyansk, having set up checkpoints at major streets leading into town. The protesters blocked a major highway in the east, and flags of Russia and their newly declared and unrecognized People's Republic of Donetsk flew over administrative buildings in several other mid-sized towns. These included Mariupol, where protesters seized a building on Sunday. A security advisor to the Ukrainian authorities in Donetsk said the operation on Sunday was carried out by Alpha, a special services unit of Ukraine's state security service. He gave an upbeat assessment of its progression, saying Ukrainian forces had evicted gunmen from the Slovyansk police headquarters, though protesters said there said nothing of the sort had happened. The man also said most of the expelled gunmen were local pro-Russian extremists, but they had also included Russian operatives. Residents and men standing by barricades in Slovyansk denied that Ukrainian forces had even entered the town on Sunday. They said one local man who had been out fishing was in a hospital with a wound from a shooting on a highway outside the town. Russian television and some locals said the Ukrainian nationalist group Right Sector had attacked protesters at a checkpoint, injuring the fishermen. Requests to speak to a leader of the armed men produced a man wearing a ski mask who introduced himself as Alexander and described himself as a deputy commander of the city of Slovyansk after its merger with the People's Republic of Donetsk. He gave a different account of the circumstances behind the wounding of the fishermen, saying he was struck by Ukrainian armed personnel carriers that opened fire on a barrier made from a pile of tires on the edge of town, then drove away. He said, "Our guys took cover and the shooting stopped." Ukrainian helicopters buzzed over the town around noon, but no soldiers were seen. At one barrier, pro-Russian protesters felled trees across a road into town, guarded by men in ski masks carrying military rifles. Russia's foreign ministry has issued a blistering denunciation of the Ukrainian government. In a statement on the ministry's Facebook page, the Russian government accused the Kiev authorities of threatening violence against anyone who does not agree with the nationalist radicals, chauvinist, and anti-Semitic actions in Kiev that, it said, were being carried out with direct support from the United States and Europe. At Russia's request, an emergency meeting of the United Nations Security Council was held Sunday night. Security Council members traded competing narratives of what was happening in eastern Ukraine as Russia's envoy, Vitaly Churkin, echoed the views of the Kremlin, and his Western rivals deplored what they called Russian propaganda. Mr. Churkin called on world leaders to condemn the henchmen of the Maidan, a reference to Independence Square in Kiev, where the uprising that led to the president's ouster unfolded. The British ambassador, Mark Lyle Grant, pointed the finger at Moscow, saying, "What we are witnessing is a well-orchestrated campaign to destabilize the country." In Washington, the State Department took the unusual step of issuing a fact sheet, alleging that Russian officials had made 10 false claims about the crisis in Ukraine. Russia continues to spin a false and dangerous narrative to justify its legal actions in Ukraine, the State Department said. "We would not be seeing the violence and sad events that we've witnessed this weekend without this relentless stream of disinformation and Russian provocateurs fostering unrest in eastern Ukraine." According to the State Department, more than a dozen Russian intelligence agents have been arrested by the Ukrainian government in recent weeks, contradicting Moscow's assertion that its agents are not active in Ukraine. Russian news media reported Sunday that the American CIA director, John O'Brien, had arrived in Kiev on a secret visit to advise Ukrainian officials in charge of domestic security and defense. The American embassy in the Ukrainian capital declined to comment on the reports. One protester, who gave his name only as Ivan, said the town had revolted because the new government in Kiev disregarded weeks of what he called peaceful protests demanding a referendum to secure greater local autonomy and establish Russian as a second official language. The authorities in Kiev offered both last week, but the effort did little to resolve the standoff. The unrest in Donetsk, eastern Ukraine's most populous region, began April 6th in the regional capital, where pro-Russian activists seized government headquarters and declared the People's Republic of Donetsk. According to the Ukrainian Interior Ministry, 400 Makarov handguns and 20 automatic weapons were looted on Saturday from the police station in Slovansk. The ministry said the goal of the takeover was the guns. By early evening Sunday, the city was gripped by fear after two unexplained shootings of cars as men with guns set up improvised checkpoints. The men asserted that they were locals, and nothing suggested otherwise. Some wore mismatched camouflage, but most wore out in jeans and ski jackets. Some appeared to be drunk. One of the cars that were shot at, a silver Renault, had veered into a curb after it was struck, with three bullet holes on the driver's side. Older women who had gathered nearby looked on in shock at the scene of mayhem. They said the occupants had tumbled out and tried to run, but were then shot on the sidewalk. One person died and two were injured. In the other shooting, a bullet hit a taxi cab, but nobody was hurt. The Ukrainian police said at least two people had been wounded in shootings in the city. And that's all for national news for today, and we're going to go on another quick little break. This is radio.dominican.edu. You're walking away, and they're talking behind you. They will never forget you till somebody new comes along.
kid in town. Everybody loves him.
To The More You Know, I'm Pickles, and now we have on with us, we have Madeline Powelson. You want to say hi, Maddie?
Hi.
I'm Maddie. Let's try one more time.
Hi, I'm Maddie.
All right, and we also have Lee LeVerrier.
LeVerrier.
There we go.
Hey.
She says that you're best friends.
Yeah, so these are some of my friends here at Dominican. So, guys, do you want to tell our listeners anything about yourself?
I'm a freshman at Dominican. I'm Susanna's roommate and best friend, as I like to think. biology major, and I have strep throat.
Yes, you do. And I've dragged you here against her will, so, you know, Stu, it's okay. She had to go to the doctor's. I'm sorry.
I did have a doctor's appointment.
Yeah, and her tonsils are huge.
Yep, they started bleeding.
You know what they say about big tonsils. Anyways, Lee, would you like to say anything about yourself?
Also a freshman. And I'm their friends, too.
Good. Lee, do you play sports here?
I do. I play soccer here.
No way. What position do you play?
Well, the fall season I played forward. Now I'm playing more of an attacking mid.
Okay. And how'd you guys' game go this weekend?
We tied 1-1.
Yikes.
Yeah. You know, it was pretty close game. We were winning pretty much the whole time, and then last like 5 minutes they scored.
Yeah, I'm really glad we can't tie in volleyball. Although that one tournament we had, that was annoying.
That was annoying. Hey, Lee, did you score in your game?
I did not score in this game.
Can you please explain why?
Because I'm bad at soccer. I don't know.
Good job, Maddie. I was trying
to spark the conversation.
I don't know. Our team didn't have the best game.
Yeah. So, Lee, are you concerned, since you and Maddie are such good friends, that you'll get strep throat?
I mean, probably. I might have to miss some of my classes or something, which I don't want to, but...
Yeah.
You know, she's just my world, and I'm with her all the time. And
it'll be a real tragedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that you haven't gotten strep throat yet is quite something else. Yeah. Or Kat.
That's true. Kat hasn't either.
Yeah. Yeah. Ice cream.
Kat is our other roommate. And seeing as we're together all the time, and this is Mary's second case of strep throat within the same month.
Within 2 weeks, just to be clear.
Yeah. So be careful. Don't share drinks with people.
Or me.
Or Maddie, or Becca. So, guys, what's been going on recently with you? How'd your weekends go?
Well, I took a road trip down to Long Beach this weekend.
Oh, nice. Who'd you go with?
I went with my friend Ben Ludeman and Hunter Hornstein.
Shout out,
yep. They're probably not listening. That's okay.
Yeah.
It was really fun. We went to an Angels game. I'm a huge Angels fan. Hunter's mom bought us tickets, and it was really cool. We got to sit right behind home plate. And we went to the beach and just walked around, had a good time.
Cool. Did the Angels win?
The Angels did not win. However, it went to 13 innings, which is really fun, and it got a little boring. But they were down 6-3 to the Mets, and then they hit a walk-off to tie the game in the bottom of the ninth inning. Which is really fun, but then they lost, and it was really depressing because we stayed like 5 extra innings to see them lose. But it's okay. Next time. Which may never be, but...
Hey, they'll get it. Lee, what'd you do this weekend?
Nothing.
Really?
You didn't breathe?
I oppose that statement.
I had my game.
Okay.
And then I was with you on Saturday.
Yeah, you were.
Didn't really do much.
No.
Just kind of hung out at the dorms.
Yeah, I watched Frozen.
Great movie.
Excellent film.
Great, great movie. Sunday, watched the Masters.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't Bubba Watson win again?
He did
he
win
won
again.
Last
good old
year,
Bubba.
Right? Do you even know who that is?
No.
We were rooting for Jordan.
Is that the 20-year-old?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was Drew pretty into it?
Yeah, Drew was really into... He really wanted Jordan.
Yeah. Bubba's young, isn't he? Relatively?
No? 20, late 20s.
That's pretty freaking young.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for everyone who doesn't know, Drew is Lee's roommate who plays golf here at Dominican. And he would have been on with us on Friday had he not ditched.
I have a fun fact.
Fun fact, go.
I have a cousin, and she's like 50 years old. She's like my mom's cousin, so she's my second cousin. And she recently got selected to be the women's national team golf captain this past month.
Whoa.
Yeah, she's in the Hall of Fame. Shout out to Julie Inkster. Not listening again.
She might be.
She might be.
It's pretty. Yep. The more you know with Pickles.
She does live down here. She lives in San Francisco.
Does she?
Well, ish. Somewhere.
Yeah. She lives somewhere.
In that vicinity. Maybe Alcatraz.
Maybe. Maybe not if she's the women's golf captain.
No,
but
she's a great lady.
Yeah. I hope someday I'm as good at anything as she is at golf.
Yeah.
Everyone has aspirations, and that's
well,
mine.
Yeah. I was talking to Drew about, like, this 20-year-old. Like, what have we done?
Yeah,
seriously.
You know, we're a year younger than him. He's in,
like,
the Masters.
Whenever I watch the Olympics now, I'm like,
and
oh, you're younger than me.
And those 8-year-old Chinese girls.
Mm-hmm. Not to be.
Have you? Do you guys know?
Just
hey, Lee, do you watch any baseball?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, there's a guy on the Angels who's 21 years old, and he's
the
best.
The Trout?
Mike Trout.
Reeling in some trout?
Oh, yeah. He did very well yesterday, 2 days ago.
Way to go, Trout.
But still, like, I think about that, too, that he's 21 years old. I could be dating him.
You could. You know,
but
you should try for that.
The fact that he's an MLB and he's the best player on their team and one of the best players in the league is pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm pretty sure that my pop star career is going to take off soon, so I'll
agree.
Be okay. Mm-hmm. If not, you know, we can always just rely on Lee's good looks.
Yep.
Or his butt.
Okay.
So, guys, do you have any interesting classes here at Dominican that you like a lot, or?
Birds.
Tell me about birds.
I mean, what else can I say about birds?
I mean, could you do a few bird calls?
That would be perfect, actually.
I don't really get the whole idea of this class unless you give me a little dose of it.
We don't learn bird calls.
But you hear them?
But what would you do?
I have heard birds.
So
how would
could you
identify
them? I
mean,
you guys have heard birds here,
ready,
too.
Ready, southern finch.
Go.
Call.
Oh, God, that's beautiful.
I would have to disagree with that.
I wouldn't be surprised if they came flying in through the window.
Yeah, that window's open. They could get right on in here. We'd have a heck of a problem then. A heck of one.
We would, wouldn't we?
We really, really would.
I'm trying to think of my favorite. Oh, my favorite class is probably my biology research and methodology class.
Oh, yeah, is that the one you had the malaria presentation
for? Yeah, we recently learned about malaria, so we have a rotation and we switch teachers every 3 weeks, and recently, thank you, I can't talk, you know, the strep. Recently we took our blood type and we also looked at a bunch of different kinds of malaria, as a bunch as in four, because there's only four kinds under the microscope.
Yeah.
It was just weird because, like, malaria was right in front of you, like, you could get it.
Oh,
you know,
that's kind of.
Isn't that
kind of
weird?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously,
awesome.
Like, it's under the slides
and
it's really cool to look at, but
don't mess with that.
Don't mess with
malaria. Don't mess with your teacher,
especially Plasmodium falciparum. That's the worst kind.
Good to know. The
that,
more you
that's
know.
That's the worst.
I did my presentation on that.
How'd your presentation go, by the way?
It was great.
Good.
It had to be 15 minutes long, but my group did good. They did good. I don't really know.
So, are you going to be staying around here for the summer, or are you going home?
I will be going home. I mean, most likely.
Yeah, back to Davis.
Yeah.
Lee, are you going to have a job over the summer?
I do have a job.
He coaches little kids.
Oh.
I'm a swim coach.
Get your heart out.
For some reason, I was saying that sarcastically because I thought you were going to say soccer.
No, this is my fifth year doing it.
I know, and I totally forgot.
Pretty surprised. By the way, if anyone wants some comic relief, you can go on YouTube, search what was that again, Lee?
What?
That video.
Which video?
The food one.
Well, no one should watch that.
It's a great. It's a really.
What
great.
Is it?
It's called Bread Pit.
Like Brad Pitt.
No.
But
bread.
With Bread Pitt.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
What is it exactly?
Well,
have you seen Epic Meal Time?
I've heard of it. I don't really know what it is.
Well, for our English final last year, me and two of my friends, we decided to make a cooking video for our final.
This is your video.
And so, yeah, we kind of based it off of Epic Meal Time. And I thought of that name for our food. It's Bread Pit. We also made pigs in a blanket in a blanket.
Mm.
Quality.
So what does this have to do with the English language?
Nothing.
So no. This was for your final?
Mm-hmm.
Had to be creative, and it that was creative.
The rule was you just had to be creative.
And what was your grade?
We made a cooking video.
What was your grade?
Oh, we got an A.
Wow. Congrats, Lee.
Thanks.
Way to go, Lee.
Going back to the topic of are we going to be here this summer,
yeah.
I will. Actually, I kind of have a weird plan for this summer. I am working down here at the Dominican Athletic Camps, helping the volleyball camp. But in the meantime, I'm going to go home for a month, see my family, and then I'll fly back down here mid-June, June 10th. And then after the camps get over, like in a month and a half, I'm going to fly back home.
And then go to Michigan?
And then stay home for a month again, and then fly back down here, start doubles. So
double days.
It's going to be quite a busy summer.
What about you, Pickles?
I will be back in the Mitten. Back
what's
in
that?
Good old Michigan. Which, if you didn't know, is in the shape of a mitten. That's why we call it the mitten.
I didn't know that at first. Just going to let everybody know. So when she pointed to her hand to tell me where she lived, I was so confused.
It's gotten quite a few funny looks, I'll be honest. Good old Michigan. So now we're just going to take a little quick break here. This is The More You Know. I'm Pickles.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Lee.
We out.
I'm not the one you want, babe. I will only let you down. You say you're looking for someone who will promise never to part. Someone to close his eyes for you. Someone to close his heart. Someone who will die for you and more. But it ain't me, babe. No, no, no. It ain't me, babe. It ain't me you're looking for, babe.
Woof, woof. Hero of his land, one the only, the ultimate Hawaiian Superman. Oh, Maui,
this magical Maui.
Oh, Maui,
Maui.
Oh, Maui, Hawaiian Superman. The sea played a fire one, lost away in time. Oh, in the
Welcome back to The More You Know. This is Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu, and I am Pickles. And today we have with us Maddie.
Hi.
And Lee.
What's up?
All right, so we were just talking about how we all play sports here and how much we're going to miss our seniors that are on our team this year. Graduation is just around the corner, and then we get to talking about some pranks that we did. So, Maddie, do you want to share what your prank was again?
I had a story, didn't you?
So,
my high school has a tradition of some pretty good senior pranks. And I'm from Portland, Oregon. And my high school replicated something that went on in the city of Portland called Occupy Portland, where protesters set up tents in the city of Portland protesting something which I don't remember. And it was just a really big deal, and we all kind of made fun of it at the time. But for my senior prank, we all put in tents at our parking lot before anybody could get to school and blocked the entire parking lot. Staff, students, janitors, whatever you may have it. It was pretty good.
That's actually a really good prank. Yep. That's solid. Did you guys get in trouble for it at all?
I think a couple people did. I think like the ASB people got in trouble for it, but...
That's
student body.
Gotcha.
Because they kind of put it together, but we didn't get in trouble.
Yeah. What about you, Lee?
Any pranks?
Do you guys have any good graduating stories?
It's different than a prank.
Yeah, I don't think we had any pranks. I mean, there's supposed to be a ninth grade prank and then a senior prank.
Really?
And we never did a senior prank. At least not that I'm aware of.
Wait, did you do a ninth grade prank when you were a freshman, or you had one when you were a senior?
Well, because my junior high was 7, 8, 9.
Oh.
And so
the ninth graders had
their own, like, prank, mm-hmm. too. But...
Baby seniors.
The year before us, when I was 8th grade, there was a prank pulled by the ninth graders, but on the same night, there were also bricks thrown through all of these windows at our school.
What?
That's not really a prank anymore.
I don't know if people thought that was a prank or not, and so they kind of just like canceled it for us.
Aww.
So I never really got to do any pranks.
I did a prank. I didn't do a
you
prank.
Didn't do a
you
prank.
Didn't
do a prank.
I planted flowers. Surprise.
Speaking of graduation, though, on my grad night last year, I was up for a good challenge, and some of my guy friends were jumping off the diving board and doing flips. And I went up to go on the diving board, and they set out like a floaty tube sort of thing, but it was pretty like hard. It was like plastic. It was like pretty hard plastic, and they set it out, and they're like, "I bet you can't dive through that tube." And I was like, "Well, now I have to.
You
have to do it."
So here I go. Took a little bounce on the diving board, dove through it. I didn't entirely miss, but I did. The inside had like a little plastic lip on it and just completely scraped my entire nose open. Literally came up out of the water. My whole face was just like running with blood. And they...
That was grad night.
Yeah, that was grad night for me. And everywhere I went, people were like, "Your face is bleeding." Yes, I know.
Just in case you didn't know.
In case that you didn't know, right. And I did post a selfie of it on Instagram.
I would love to see that.
But that was kind of when it was healed, so it doesn't look as good. But it was pretty traumatic from what I've heard. I didn't really
For
other people to see
you?
You
just come up out of the water.
It didn't hurt. I mean, it didn't hurt that bad. It's just the people's faces when I got out of the water were like terrified. I'll show you guys.
Did I tell you I went to the movies with my mom once, and 10 minutes into the movie, she just gets up and runs out. I was like, "Oh, that's weird." I thought she was crying. I don't know. It was Les Mis, so I thought she was just having a moment. She came back like an hour later, just blood everywhere. She had the worst bloody nose. I guess the people who were working at the theater told her that she looked like she was out of a horror movie. Because she just had, like, blood gushing down her face. And they had to, like, give her a new sweatshirt to wear because...
My goodness.
Yeah, they didn't want her to scare the kids.
Definitely scared some parents.
And fun fact, I can't jump off a diving board.
You're scared to?
I don't have the balance. I fall
You don't
off.
Need...
Like, to bounce it? It just doesn't work.
What does that mean?
It just doesn't...
It's like a trampoline. Can you use a trampoline?
Yeah.
That's...
You flip some stuff. You don't have to do a flip.
I used to do flips off diving board.
Susanna's that fat kid that they show on like America's Funniest Home Videos that does the bounce and then just buckle.
Hits their back on it.
Yeah. That's exactly what I have.
I'm a swim coach. I'll just teach you.
True. Deal. There we go. What are friends for?
Yep.
Fast.
That I said that in a long time. When in Rome. Did I tell you about our senior camp out, by the way?
No.
So the night before the last day of school, because we get out early. Did you guys get out earlier?
Yeah, we got like a week earlier.
All right, we got like almost a month, I feel like.
Then the other students?
Like two weeks or 3 weeks or something.
How long did you guys get out?
A day?
What?
Wow.
A day earlier.
Well, just to stop it right there then.
Wow. Uh-huh. Anyways.
Anyways, so the seniors every year camp out in our like front lawn area in front of the parking lot. And it's lots of fun. And so Chelsea, I'm from Dexter, Michigan, and Chelsea, Michigan's our rival. And so some people from that town, they're not nice people, they're like driving by our camp out and throwing stuff at us and da da da. So the guys were like waiting in bushes and like would throw softballs at them and like hit the car. And they'd been gone for a while and like we heard this car like going really fast down the road by us and we're like, oh shit, like, oh shoot, that's them. And so all the guys like went out to go get ready. It wasn't them, and we hear this like car crash, and we're like, and like everyone was freaking out, so we ran over there, and there's this big giant truck, which was not them, that had like rolled three times, and it was really close to where our school was, so we all got there within like a minute or two, and nobody was in the truck.
Did you ever figure out what happened?
Yeah, it was like some guys who were coming home. Or like a dad and a mom or something coming home from a bar drunk. They had a kid in the car.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Yeah, and they like crashed and just hightailed it out of there. Like somebody picked them up and they were gone.
My.
And it's like, what do you think? They're not going to figure out. Wow.
I thought this was going
to
be a funny story.
Like, no, everyone was fine. And like, it was just.
That still doesn't make it funny.
It just was.
I'm still not laughing
at
that.
We were all just like, what? Because we thought it was like the Chelsea people and we're all really upset. And then it wasn't anyone and we were really confused. All right. Another budget story by Sue Pickles.
Do you want me to end it with a funny story?
Yeah.
Okay, well, on my graduation, as I said, I'm from Portland, which is the weirdest city in America, if anybody didn't know. Like, it literally is the weirdest city in America. And we were getting on our bus to go to grad night, and all the parents are coming. It's not something to brag about, trust me.
I brag about it.
Parents and grandparents are kind of coming out to see all, you know, the grads come up and say goodbye to them as they went on the bus. All of a sudden, so our ceremony was in downtown Portland, and we have this thing called the Naked Bike Ride, which is a naked bike ride, and
yeah,
naked a humongous stampede of bike rides, bike riders just blew by my bus with all the grandparents, all the kids, all the parents. I have a thought it's hilarious, but you know, the older crowd didn't seem to enjoy that as much as I did, but that was definitely a memory from my graduation.
Just on a side note, I just remembered because my friend just texted me, reminding me to come to her grad party when I go home. You get free food. You get a lot of free food.
I probably gained 15 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
From
it's
going
awesome.
I hopped from grad party to grad party. I probably hit up five in one day.
You guys have seen
my
food,
Like, it was like one weekend I had like six on Saturday and like five on Sunday
but
or something like that.
But I loved going.
Yeah.
Because
they were fun.
The same group of friends would just kind of like, you'd see the
would
same
just
people
shift.
Every
You'd
be like, oh, hey, I haven't seen you in 10 minutes.
Yep. That's exactly what it was.
All right, guys. Well, that's all the time we have today. Thank you for coming on, Maddie.
Thank
and
you.
Lee.
No problem.
Just before we go, a reminder, Dominican Student Health Center is getting ready for the last campus blood drive for the semester. It's from 10:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. on April 22nd. That's next Tuesday. It's in Calrega, the Creekside Room. And go to www.bloodheroes.com and search for Dominican University of California to schedule an appointment. Thank you very much. This is The More You Know. You are listening to radio.dominican.edu.